part of the IOM radio network.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's Matt Connerton Unleashed, the radio edition. We are live a little bit after 11 p.m. in the Eastern time zone, June 2nd, 2016, coming to you from the Uptown Auto Repair Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire. Of course, we are powered by Ambit Energy. If you want to learn how to save on your energy bills, go to ipmnation.ambitrabbit.com. You'll be very glad that you did. You could be on your way to free energy. And of course, we are sponsored by the Mortgage Specialists. If you need help, some guidance through the process of buying a home, go to themortgagespecialists.com and schedule a consultation. You'll be glad that you did. It's probably the biggest, most important purchase you'll ever make, themortgagespecialists.com. And of course, we are live 5 nights a week on IPM Nation 2, and every Tuesday and Thursday, we have the honor and privilege of being on the OTR FM. Or I should say OTR-FM, not the OTR-FM. Well, I guess it is the OTR-FM because there's only one OTR-FM in theory, I would think. And it is the premium channel on the Ohm Times Radio Network. So very happy about that. I don't think I've mentioned it lately, so I'll mention it again because it's been a while. We were the first broadcast. This program was the very first broadcast on OTR-FM. So we were very honored by that. So let's see. Let me mention a programming note. The days blur together sometimes. Tuesday night was the very first Matt Connerton Unleashed television edition in our new time slot. Of course, the television edition of this show. Now, Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on IPM Nation. And for our very first show at the new time on the new night, I was flying solo for most of the show, but a little more than halfway through, I was joined by Congressman Frank Ginta from right here in the great state of New Hampshire. And Jen was able to get that booking very last minute, actually, just a couple hours before the show. And he agreed to come in. So that was really cool. So if you want to see that, that is up on our YouTube page on IPM Nation, the Tuesday night edition of Matt Connerton Unleashed, the television edition of the show. And you know, I've been talking about it for a while. Really excited about the new time slot for that. I think it's going to bring us a lot more live viewers and more calls. In fact, we had a bunch of calls while Congressman Ginta was on, which was great. So you know, I know that in the previous slot, probably a lot of people just waited and watched the replay later or watched it on YouTube. But I think being on at 7 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays is going to really help us a lot. So very happy about that. And let's see. Earlier tonight, too, I was on the Dr. Kevin show. The first Thursday of every month, Dr. Kevin and I get together on his program for Thirst Quenching Thursdays. And we had an interesting, actually, discussion this week. Well, you know, we talk about politics a lot. He probably talks about politics more with me than anyone else he has on his show, just because that's what I am most conversant. There it is. That's what I am the most conversant in. And we were talking a little bit about Gary Johnson, the libertarian candidate for president. And you know, he got a response from Trump. Trump had something to say about him, which is interesting. So we kind of analyzed that a little bit. Of course, that's available on demand. You know, Ohm Times does a great job of archiving all those shows. But we'll come back to that. We'll come back to Gary Johnson. But I have something a little bit more pressing. Something has come to light, my friends. I have said for a while that I believe that Hillary Clinton will be the next president because I don't see how Trump can beat her, especially with Gary Johnson in the race, who's going to siphon off a lot of Republican votes. But then I found something stunning about Hillary Clinton. This is far worse than Benghazi or any email scandal. This is really terrible. According to my favorite website, rightwingwatch.org, Sandy Rios says Hillary Clinton wants to legalize pedophilia. My friends, I had no idea. This is truly stunning. I don't know if this is going to be part of the Democratic platform at the convention, but this is truly, truly troubling. It says here, the American Family Association's hate group, Sandy Rios claimed on her radio program this morning that LGBT rights advocates led by Hillary Clinton are determined to legalize pedophilia. This is just awful. Awful news. She may very well be our next president. Let's play the audio, shall we? It's about 2 minutes, 2 minutes long here, and we'll get some insight into this.
I will tell you the next thing is that the play is not necessarily for gay rights or transgender. The play is for pedophilia. They're going to call it minor attracted persons, MAP. And what it's going to be, when you look online at YouTube, I encourage your listeners to look at a video on there. It's been up there for a while. Now everybody's catching on to it. They'll probably take it down. So if you can strip it and put it onto your computer, you might want to do that. It was from Jeremiah Films back in the 90s. It's called AIDS, What You Haven't Been Told. AIDS, What You Haven't Been Told. About an hour long. Shows you back in 1991 when they did the march on D.C. for AIDS awareness. Everybody who was under that canvas with Bill Clinton as they got that money. To become president in 92, NAMBLA, all those folks were coming after your kids. Get them before 8 or it's too late. And they all set out their agenda going by 20 years. Every generation, they would push the ball forward. And that's basically what has happened. What has happened. In the 70s, they got the thing taken out for the DSM. And then we saw the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Then we saw the repeal. And now we're seeing gay marriage. And you're going to see what we're setting up as a precedent. If kids can divorce their parents, if kids can make sex change decisions, if kids can make decisions about RU48 and everything like that, birth control pills up without parents' consent, then kids should be able to use Michelle Obama's words, be able to love who they want to love. They're going to move the age of consent down. That's
Pat, I have to interrupt you because of the time, but let me just say, unfortunately, everything that Pat just said is true. I've been talking about this stuff at a time, you know, 15 years ago when nobody could believe this. It was just too much. Just too much. But I remember debating Jocelyn Elders, the former Surgeon General of the United States, over a book she had endorsed that was wanted to move the age of sexual consent down to 12. I got into a huge fight with her over that. And I can tell you the person who's primarily behind all of this, the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, has been pushing for this since she was young, and that's Hillary Clinton. He's absolutely right. Pedophilia is the next frontier, the next barrier they want to break down. It is absolutely amazing.
Yes, obviously, because everyone knows that when you say, hey, we should treat everyone, even people who are a little different than we are, with respect and dignity, like they're actual human beings. When you teach people that, when you teach children that, to be nice and respectful to everybody, obviously that leads to kid touching. I mean, it's just obvious, right? Yes, the moment you start accepting people and, you know, that whole tolerance thing, then, you know, next thing you know, it's having sex with kids. I mean, that is the obvious next step, right? Yes, Hillary Clinton and her pedophilia agenda. This is truly stunning. By the way, I can't help but recall that Hillary Clinton was very late to the party on the whole marriage equality thing. But I guess I don't even know what the guy on there, I didn't even bother to notice his name, what the hell he was talking about this. They had this march and this tent and NAMBLA was there hanging out with Bill Clinton or something. I don't even know what he was talking about. But, you know, I seriously, like, I know a lot of, you know, conservative Christian conservative Republicans who would actually who oppose gay marriage, who would find these particular comments a bit much, you know, but they may think that, gay marriage is going to cause all parties involved to burn in hell for all eternity because the invisible deity in the sky is upset about it or something. But I don't think most of them, at least most of the ones that I know, I don't think that this is leading to legalized pedophilia. Maybe they do think that and they don't say it out loud because they know that someone like me will ridicule them. And they deserve to be ridiculed if they do really believe that. But, jeez. And then did you notice, too, by the way, toward the end of the clip, I heard her, Sandy Rios there, mention something about the UN. And she said it kind of fast, so I didn't even quite catch what the whole deal was. But I know that people who are, you know, really hardcore conspiracy theorists who buy into all the conspiracy theory stuff, but from sort of a conservative Republican perspective, you know, like they believe that Obama is really a Muslim who's just waiting to unleash Sharia law, or, you know, or that the UN is ultimately going to take over America and Agenda 21 fits into that somehow. And they're going to send in the black helicopters and take everyone's guns and they're going to put us all in camps or something, whatever these people think. It was interesting to me that because, of course, another thing that they think is that gay marriage is somehow a plot to destroy America. And then she throws in that little thing about the UN on the end. And it's like, oh, that just puts a really nice bow on the whole thing. But the key to it is, of course, always with these people, always assume the absolute worst motives of anyone who has a different viewpoint than you. If they disagree with you at all on any issue, just assume it's because of the absolute worst motives. The only reason they're for gay rights is because they're also for pedophilia, right? That's how these people think. Stupid. We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hello! Join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart. While you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song, you'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
That's that bumper music again, where I swear every time I hear it, it's like I think I'm hearing a voice in there with the guitars. But I'm not sure if it's an actual human voice though, or if it's just because these are supposed to be all instrumental. But it sounds like there's a human voice, like right under the guitars, going. I think it's just an effect. I don't think it's an actual voice, but I think occasionally I think my mind manufactures audio that I'm not really hearing, but I think I'm hearing. I know. Anyway, by the way, we do have a phone line open for you if you would like to call in, if you would like to discuss Hillary Clinton's pedophilia agenda or anything else at all. Of course, you can call us at 617-917-4IPM. That's IPM as in IPM Nation. 617-917-4476. If you prefer to not use letters, 617-917-4476. You can call us or text us at that number. Of course, we have the chat room at ipmnation.com/live2. And you can post anything you like on the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page if you'd like to communicate that way. And of course, you can tweet me at Matt Connerton. Don't forget, too, by the way, there are other Facebook pages, too, you can like to really help us out. The IPM Nation Facebook page, the Ohm Times Facebook page, Dr. Kevin's Facebook page that I mentioned earlier. I was on Dr. Kevin's show. And in fact, Dr. Kevin raised something interesting. So he was talking about, and in fact, he actually kind of got to this before I did in terms of, sometimes I don't pay as much attention during the day as I'd like to in terms of what's going on politically because I'm busy with my other, duties. Apparently Trump has addressed Gary Johnson, calling him a fringe candidate, saying he doesn't really take him seriously, etc. Now, Gary Johnson, of course, is the Libertarian nominee. And what I said to Dr. Kevin is that I wonder if it's wise or unwise for Trump to even acknowledge Gary Johnson, because here's what I'm sure. In fact, I would guarantee this is part of the dialogue right now within the Trump campaign. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of, you know, what do we do about Hillary in terms of running against Hillary? You know, that has to be their main focus now. They got to pivot to the general election. There's no point in continuing to go on and insulting and demeaning other Republicans. He has no other Republican foes left. You know, he's got this. He seems to be getting more and more of the establishment on board, sort of, like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, sort of. I say sort of because their comments were, wow, talk about damning with faint praise. They've endorsed Trump, but barely. We'll get to that in a bit. But what do they do about, they got to run against Hillary, but what do they do about Gary Johnson? Because Gary Johnson, yes, he's a third-party candidate. He's the Libertarian nominee. And as Trump himself pointed out in his comments, he only got 1% of the vote in 2012. By the way, I voted for Gary Johnson in 2012. But this time around, and there's probably a couple of different factors that are driving this, this time around, I've seen a couple of polls where he's polling at 10%. I saw one that had him at 11%. And if he can get to 15%, he gets into the debates. There'll be three people on that debate stage when it's time for the general election presidential debates. It'll be Trump, Hillary, and if he can get to 15% in national polls, Gary Johnson, according to the rules set by the debate commission, will qualify for a spot on that stage. He's got to get to 15. And that hasn't happened since 1992 when Ross Perot did well enough, was doing well enough in the polls that he was on the debate stage with Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush. So it can be done. It is possible. Perot proved it's possible. Then there was also, too, 1980, where Ronald Reagan did a debate with third-party candidate John B. Anderson. Jimmy Carter chose to sit that one out. He refused to take John B. Anderson seriously because he was an independent. So he sat out the debate, and obviously we saw what happened to Jimmy Carter's presidency. But Reagan, so he ended up with a two-man debate, but instead of it being Reagan against Carter, and of course there was later a debate, a two-man debate of Reagan debating Carter without Anderson being there, But there's also, you can find it on YouTube, from 1980, there's a debate, Reagan debating John B. Anderson. And John B. Anderson had been a Republican. Sound familiar? He had been a Republican who became an independent. He was running, he wasn't a Libertarian. He was running for the, what was it, the Fair Vote, I think, was the name of the organization or the party. Something like that, Project Fair Vote or something. So he had been a Republican, but he was running as an independent. Gary Johnson, when he was governor of New Mexico, he was a Republican. But now he's an independent. He's a Libertarian and has been for a while. Independent and Libertarian, or maybe you could just say Libertarian. Independent's kind of a funny word because it sort of has a dual meaning depending on who you're talking to. Just kind of a side note about that word. To some people, it's a matter of context. To some people, when you say independent, they take independent to mean not either a Democrat or a Republican. So if you're not a member of either of the two parties, you're an independent. But other people I've noticed define an independent, a true independent, as not being a member of any party. So if you regard an independent as being neither Democrat or a Republican, then Libertarians are independents. But if you regard an independent as being someone who's not a member of any party, then Libertarians would not be considered independents. But that's just a matter of context. Sometimes these terms have slightly different definitions and so forth. But sometimes there's just a slight difference connotatively, as there is with that word. But it can be done. Ross Perot proved it can be done. And John B. Anderson, too. I think John B. Anderson, I don't remember how well he did in the general election, but I think he did pretty well for an independent candidate. But this has got to be an ongoing debate within the Trump campaign, because the question that they must be bandying about, or I assume they are, they're stupid if they're not, because I'm sure they already have a game plan drawn up for Hillary. But for Gary Johnson, on the one hand, they could choose to ignore him, which may or may not be wise. Or they can choose to engage him, which it sounds like Trump has, by making comments about him. I think it's the first time Trump has acknowledged Gary Johnson. But the risk is, if they engage him, does it do more harm than good to the Trump campaign? Because if they engage him, does that legitimize him? Does that legitimize Gary Johnson in the minds of voters who otherwise not pay any attention to him? Does it actually draw attention to Gary Johnson that maybe the Trump campaign doesn't want drawn to Gary Johnson? You know, because Gary Johnson's going to siphon off a lot of Republican votes, because there's a lot of Republicans who are wildly enthusiastic about Trump. He wouldn't be the nominee if they weren't. But they're also, he's a pretty damn polarizing figure with very high negatives. There's a lot of Republicans who are disgusted. And there's a tremendous opportunity for Gary Johnson to peel off those voters. And he may draw from Hillary, too, actually. And here's why. So there's from the Wall Street Journal. Gary Johnson says, yeah, I'm a fringe candidate and I'll win Trump and Clinton voters. Libertarian candidate says he is fiscally conservative, socially liberal. Now, by the way, that's how a lot of Americans are. A lot of Americans in polling data, and this has been the case for years and years, define themselves as being fiscally conservative and socially liberal. You know, when I felt compelled to stop being a Democrat and be an independent was because that's how I defined myself. And it's like, As the two parties become more and more sort of polarized and more extreme, it's really hard to be a fiscal conservative and a social liberal and fit into either of the two major parties, because the attitudes of the parties these days is you're either 100% with us or you're 100% against us. And so if you're kind of in the middle, what ends up being sort of a centrist position, Libertarian seems like the way to go, which is funny because on the one hand, a lot of people think libertarians are sort of these fringe extremists, you know, but the truth is, if you really look at libertarianism and you go issue by issue, you realize that actually libertarians, to a large extent, occupy the center. They're not the fringe extreme of anything. They're basically centrists in a lot of ways, you know, pro-choice, but also pro-Second Amendment. You know, they tend to be pro-marriage equality, pro-gay rights, and all of that. But they also want to keep the government out of it and not making any more laws about it and being for small government. You know, they're for a less intrusive government, but they're also not interested in, the funny thing about conservatism is, so conservatives try to act like they're for less intrusive government, but they have no problem with the government shoving God in your face by way of, you know, anti-marriage equality laws or restricting abortion rights to the point where it's almost impossible to get one or whatever it is. So libertarians are the true small government, non-intrusive government party. So there is a true opportunity here. And actually, I think what we'll do is, so we're up against another break. When we come back, we'll look at some of the comments in this Wall Street Journal article, comments from both Trump and Gary Johnson responding to Trump. I want to update everybody on this ongoing Trump University story. What a disaster. And I want to talk too about Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell sort of half-heartedly. It might be one way of putting it. They've endorsed Trump. They're on the Trump train, but barely. So we'll talk about that too. We'll be right back. Don't go away. More to come. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live. It is warm here at the Uptown Auto Repair Studio. I think I'm going to crack open this window. I need a little air. Wow. I'm just like really warm. It's going to be a hot summer. I bet it's going to be the hot summer on record. But I don't believe in climate change. Obviously, it's a conspiracy among liberals and the world's climatologists to, destroy capitalism. But I mean, any Republican will tell you that. he said mildly sarcastically. Okay, so I want to get to this Wall Street Journal article, and then we'll kind of, well, I don't know. I don't know if we're really moving on from it afterward, because it inevitably we end up talking about Trump. But I thought this was interesting. So Gary Johnson responding to Trump's comments. Let's see. Former Republican New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, running for president as a libertarian, embraced his outsider status on Wednesday, acknowledging in an interview that he is a fringe candidate. After Mr. Johnson became the Libertarian Party nominee this weekend, presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump called him a fringe candidate and dismissed the prospect of the Libertarian Party posing a threat to his candidacy. Trump said in a press conference on Tuesday, quote, "Gary Johnson got 1% last time. I watched that whole situation. It was pretty disgraceful. I think it's a total fringe deal. I think he's a fringe candidate," unquote. It's a label that Mr. Johnson was only happy to embrace. Mr. Johnson is running on a ticket with former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld, forming the most experienced ticket in the Libertarian Party's four-decade history. He was the Libertarian Party's presidential nominee in 2012 as well, drawing just about 1.3 million votes nationwide. Mr. Johnson said in an interview on Wednesday with Fox Business, quote, "I'm a total fringe candidate. I'm a Republican governor that got to serve two terms in a Democrat state. Gee, Bill Weld did the same thing. I supported gay rights. I supported women's right to choose. I espoused legalizing marijuana in 1999. I'm about as fringe as you can get," unquote. Mr. Johnson described himself as, quote, "fiscally conservative, socially liberal," unquote, and suggested that more than 30 million Americans have libertarian leanings but don't know it. I say that all the time, by the way. Like I said, libertarianism occupies the center, not the fringe, the American center of politics. And just most Americans don't realize it. Most Americans are somewhat libertarian and just don't realize it. Let's see. He said his platform calls for a less intrusive government, socially liberal policies, and a foreign policy that discarded military interventions. With that issue set, he said, he could pull from both Mr. Trump and likely Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton. Said Johnson, quote, "I upset people in all categories, but I do say the same thing every time. And what I say, I think, is very pragmatically libertarian," unquote. No third-party candidate has ever won a presidential election in American history. The last time a third-party candidate carried a state in a presidential election was 1968, when former Alabama Governor George Wallace won a 5 Southern states as an independent. Let's see. So I want to, we're just going to move on from that, because I want to update everybody on this Trump University story, which just continues to slowly unfold. And again, I don't think it's going to hurt him in the long run, because everybody who loves Trump has already made up their minds, that they love Trump, and, you know, it's not going to matter. But I think this is interesting. Like I said from the very beginning, I remember way back when I first heard about Trump University, and I just said, well, this sounds like a scam to me. You know, because what really, what thinking rational person hears Trump University and thinks, well, that sounds like a legitimate academic institution that the Donald is starting? I think I'll max out my credit cards on this endeavor. Sure. I mean, come on. You know when they lead you to believe, how do people not know this? That when they were led to believe that Trump himself was what had handpicked the professors and would be actively involved in the curriculum. Come on. Who actually believed that? There is something, my friends, called licensing, where you license your name out. You're not actually directly involved in the products that your name is being slapped on. You're just licensing your name out, and they pay you. You know, if you're famous and you have a name to license, they pay you for the privilege of using your name to sell their stuff, their crap. And that's what this apparently was. So this is the update. This is from thenewyorker.com. And this just went up today. I won't necessarily read the whole thing, but John Cassidy writes this. Following the release earlier this week of testimony filed in a federal lawsuit against Trump University, the United States is facing a high-stakes social science experiment. Will one of the world's leading democracies elect as its president a businessman who founded and operated a for-profit learning annex that some of its own employees regarded as a giant ripoff and that the highest legal officer in New York State has described as a classic bait-and-switch scheme? If anyone still has any doubt about the troubling nature of Donald Trump's record, he or she should be obliged to read the affidavit of Ronald Schnackenberg, a former salesman for Trump University. Schnackenberg's testimony was one of the documents unsealed by a judge in the class action suit, which was brought in California by some of Trump University's disgruntled former attendees. Schnackenberg, who worked in Trump's office at 40 Wall Street, testified that, quote, while Trump claimed it wanted to help consumers make money in real estate, in fact, Trump University was only interested in selling every person the most expensive seminars they possibly could. Based upon my personal experience and employment, I believe that Trump University was a fraudulent scheme, and it preyed upon the elderly and uneducated to separate them from their money. This article goes more in depth. I'm not gonna read you the whole thing. I covered this on Tuesday night, but this goes in a little more in depth than what I was reading from the other night. So if you want to see the whole thing, it is up right now at NewYorker.com, and it's worth reading. But I want to get on to A couple of weeks ago, I don't know, the time blurs, 2-3 weeks ago, there was this meeting between Donald Trump and Paul Ryan, House Speaker Paul Ryan. And I had said at the time, my prediction was that what would happen was, you know, because Paul Ryan was sort of keeping Trump at arm's length, and there was some talk about Paul Ryan may not be the chair of the Republican National Convention this summer. He may step down if Trump wants him to. He said he would if Trump wanted him to, because he wasn't endorsing Trump. He was kind of holding out on that, and seemed to have some concerns, as a lot of establishment Republicans do. And I predicted that. So they had this meeting, and I said, you know what'll happen after the meeting? They'll come out. They'll be all smiles. They'll be all nice, because there had been what appeared to be a slight bit of acrimony in terms of just some of the back and forth going on between the two in the press, not directly toward each other, but in the press. They hadn't even met yet in person, but there seemed to be they didn't seem to be getting along from a distance within the media. Some of the barbs going back and forth. Now I said, they're going to come out of this meeting, they're going to be all smiles, and Paul Ryan will say, you know, he convinced me, and I'm on board, and I'm endorsing Donald Trump. And I was half correct at the time. Basically, they had their meeting, and my prediction was true that, you know, they came out all smiles, they said nice things about each other, seemed very chummy. But Paul Ryan stopped short of a full endorsement and basically said, you know, we'll have to have some further discussions and whatnot. So he held off on endorsing him. And this was a few weeks ago, but now he has finally endorsed him. It's up on HuffPost. Paul Ryan endorses Donald Trump. But wait till you hear. I mean, look, sometimes political endorsements, sometimes they're full-throated and rah-rah, and this is my candidate, and I hope you'll all get on board and support him. Sometimes they're more tepid, you know, more measured, more sort of, you know, less enthusiastic, but your standard endorsement. But this is like the most sort of backhanded endorsement. It's almost like, and I'll read you the actual quotes from both Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, who both took their sweet time getting on board. And I'll tell you what, these are the most just half-hearted endorsements. It's almost like, I guess we'll support him because I guess we have to kind of thing. I know we're up against a break. We'll get into a little bit of this and then we'll finish up on it on the other side. But it says here, in an unceremonious op-ed in his local paper, Speaker Paul Ryan ended his dithering on the presumptive GOP presidential nominee and said he would vote for Donald Trump in November. Ryan, who had been holding out on endorsing Trump, said the focus of his conversations with the real estate mogul were on the House's policy agenda. Paul Ryan writes in an op-ed in the Gazette Extra, quote, through these conversations, I feel confident that he would help us turn the ideas in this agenda into laws to help improve people's lives. That's why I'll be voting for him this fall, unquote. Ryan says one person he knows won't support his agenda is Hillary Clinton. Quote, a Clinton White House would mean 4 more years of liberal cronyism and a government more out for itself than the people it serves. Quite simply, she represents all that our agenda aims to fix. Okay, well, there's more, but we got to take another break. So when we come back, we'll finish up with this article because, yeah, just some of what he says and what Mitch McConnell say, it's like, you know, it's like they just kind of shrugged and said, okay. So we'll be right back. There's more Unleashed coming up. We are live on IPM Nation 2 and OTR FM. Stay with me. See you in about 2 minutes.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. Cruising into our final segment tonight. Let's get right back to it. I want to get to these some of the verbiage used by Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell in their endorsements of Trump. Let's see. Getting back to the article, there was speculation last week that Ryan might declare support for Trump, but he told reporters soon after those stories broke that he wasn't any closer to an endorsement. A few days away from the Capitol seemed to have changed that for the Wisconsin Republican. Ryan had previously denounced Trump for his proposed ban on Muslims, the businessman's weak effort to distance himself from the former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke, and the violence at Trump's rallies. He then appeared on CNN on May 5th, 2 days after Trump had effectively wrapped up the nomination, and told Jake Tapper that he couldn't endorse Trump at this point. Let's see. Ryan said at the time, quote, "This is the party of Lincoln, of Reagan, of Jack Kemp. And we don't always nominate a Lincoln and a Reagan every 4 years, but we hope that our nominee aspires to be Lincoln and Reagan-esque." Ryan said he wanted to see Trump unify the Republican Party and run a campaign that will allow Americans to have something that they're proud to support and be proud and proud to be a part of, unquote. 2 days after Trump went before the press and bashed journalists for questioning whether he had actually donated the $6 million he said he raised for veterans, Ryan apparently decided Trump had changed his tone enough to earn his endorsement. He writes in the op-ed published Thursday that he's spent most of his adult life pursuing ways to help protect the American idea. Quote, "The notion that the condition of one's birth does not determine the outcome of one's life," unquote. Ryan says the first step in that is putting ideas on paper and having a real debate. And, quote, "And with the Obama presidency nearing an end, we have a real opportunity to get big things done the next 4 years," unquote. He goes on to preview an agenda that House Republicans will start rolling out next week. Let's see. Trump himself has been cagey about what ideas he actually endorses, recently seeming to flip-flop on a pledge that he wouldn't touch Social Security. But Republicans such as Ryan seem satisfied with whatever it is Trump stands for on this given day. Still, Ryan's endorsement does come with some political distance.
Here we go.
I had a little issue there. Ryan says it's no secret that he and Trump have differences. Ryan says, quote, "I won't pretend otherwise. And when I feel the need to, I'll continue to speak my mind. But the reality is, on the issues that make up our agenda, we have more common ground than disagreement." And then there was another article. I'm going to try to find it here because that's not the article I thought it was. There was an article with Mitch McConnell making some comments about Trump that also sounded a bit like he was sort of endorsing him, but sort of trying to distance himself as well. Yeah, no, I can't seem to find that. Well, let's see. Yeah, I don't know. I can't find the Mitch McConnell thing now, but let's see. Oh, you know what? Here's something fun. Remember,
I'm
this?
Not here.
Here. Let's listen to a little bit of this. Here's someone talking about Trump, and I'm gonna, while this plays, I'm gonna try looking for the Mitch McConnell comments. So let's review this briefly, shall we? And I don't have to tell you who this
here
is.
To another office.
You all remember.
And I'm not going to endorse a candidate today. Instead, I'd like to offer my perspective on the nominating process of my party. Back in 1964, just days before the presidential election, which incidentally we lost, Ronald Reagan went on national television and challenged America, saying that it was a time for choosing. He saw two paths for America, one that embraced conservative principles dedicated to lifting people out of poverty and helping create opportunity for all, and the other, an oppressive government that would lead America down a darker, less free path. I'm no Ronald Reagan, and this is a different moment in time. But I believe with all my heart and soul that we face another time for choosing, one that'll have profound consequences for the Republican Party, and more importantly, for our country. I say this in part because of my conviction that America is poised to lead the world for another century. Our technology engines, our innovation dynamic, the ambition and skill of our people are going to propel our economy and raise the standard of living of Americans. America will remain, as it is today, the envy of the world. You may have seen Warren Buffett. He said, and I think he's 100% right, that the babies being born in America today are the luckiest crop in history. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have real problems and serious challenges. We do. At home, poverty persists and wages are stagnant. The horrific massacres of Paris and San Bernardino, the nuclear ambitions of the Iranian mullahs, the aggressions of Putin, the growing assertiveness of China, and the nuclear tests of North Korea confirm that we live in troubled and dangerous times. But if we make the right choices, America's future will be even better than our past and better than our present. On the other hand, if we make improvident choices, the bright horizon I've described will not materialize. And let me put it very plainly. If we Republicans choose Donald Trump as our nominee, the prospects for a safe and prosperous future are greatly diminished. Let me explain why I say that. First, on the economy. If Donald Trump's plans were ever implemented, the country would sink into prolonged recession. A few examples. His proposed 35% tariff-like penalties would instigate a trade war, and that would raise prices for consumers, kill our export jobs, and lead entrepreneurs and businesses of all stripes to flee America. His tax plan, in combination with his refusal to reform entitlements and to honestly address spending, would balloon the deficit and the national debt. So even though Donald Trump has offered very few specific economic plans, what little he has said is enough to know that he would be very bad for American workers and for American families. But you say, wait. Isn't he a huge business success? Doesn't he know what he's talking about? No, he isn't. And no, he doesn't. His bankruptcies have crushed small businesses and the men and women who work for them. He inherited his business. He didn't create it. And whatever happened to Trump Airlines? How about Trump University? And then there's Trump Magazine and Trump Vodka and Trump Steaks and Trump Mortgage. A business genius, he is not. Now, not every policy that Donald Trump has floated is bad, of course. He wants to repeal and replace Obamacare. He wants to bring jobs home from China and Japan.
So there you go. There's some Mitt Romney, that great speech he gave all about Trump. Sorry, guys. I let that run longer than I intended because I had a little issue here with the computer. One of the computers froze up on me. Obviously not the main computer because I was able to remain on the air, but this other computer where I'm looking stuff up is giving me some trouble. But I did, however, in the process of rebooting it, when it got back on and I tried to get back to that Mitch McConnell article, I found something even more timely since I was talking about Mitch McConnell and his concerns about Trump. This just went up a few hours ago on CNN.com. It says McConnell worries Trump could have Goldwater effect on Latino voters. And so this is interesting. I haven't seen this or heard it yet. It says here again, this is from CNN. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell worries that Donald Trump could ruin the GOP's relationship with Hispanics beyond repair. Well, they're already headed that way. But says, while he is committed to voting for Trump, like I said, he did tepidly endorse him. A Republican from Kentucky said in an interview with CNN's Jake Tapper on Thursday that it was the GOP nominee could push Latinos away from the party in a way similar to how black voters distanced themselves from the Republican Party in 1964 when it was led by conservative Barry Goldwater. Recalling how he supported Democratic President Lyndon Johnson over Goldwater that year, McConnell was asked if he worried Trump could have the same effect on Hispanics, who overwhelmingly view the real estate tycoon unfavorably. I do, he said on The Lead, pointing to Trump's recent scorching criticism of a prominent Republican Latina politician, New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez. McConnell said, quote, and I think the attacks that he's so routinely engaged in, for example, going after Susana Martinez, the Republican governor of New Mexico, the chairman of the Republican Governors Association, I think was a big mistake, unquote. Regarding Goldwater's vote against the 1964 Civil Rights Act, McConnell said, quote, it did define our party for at least African-American voters, and it still does today. I've never heard Mitch McConnell be quite so, what's the word I'm looking for? Just reflective. Interesting. Quote, there was a complete shift that occurred that year, and we've never been able to get them back. So I think it was a defining moment for Republicans with regard to the accomplishments that we made, that we had made for African-Americans going back to the Civil War, unquote. McConnell has endorsed Trump and has been far less vocal about his problems with Trump's temperament or policy than House Speaker Paul Ryan, who formerly endorsed Trump on Thursday after initially saying he wasn't ready to back his party's nominee. McConnell nevertheless signaled that he would not be a rubber stamp for Trump's agenda. Asked if he would draft legislation on Trump's behalf over a temporary ban on Muslims from entering the U.S., a signature Trump proposal, McConnell said, I'd say no. Asked if he was worried whether Trump could have a negative effect on down ballot races, including Senate candidates, McConnell predicted that 2016 would be a ticket splitting election where Americans choose different candidates for the Senate and the White House. And there's one Republican senator he's hoping in particular will return next year, Marco Rubio. There's more to this article if you want to read the whole thing. It's up on CNN.com. But, you know, I've been saying for a very long time you know, the Republican Party is in real trouble with Hispanics, but nothing new there. We're out of time. Good night, everybody.